We're holding on Samach Beis Amud Beis, beginning the seventh Perek of the Masechta Perek Merubah. At this point, we've gone through all of the Ovis Nizikin that are not people. According we had at the beginning of the Masechta, the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, as far as Maveh, whether it means damage by Shein Veregel, whether it means damage by Shein, or whether it means damage by a person. We had Rav saying that it means that we had Shmuel saying that it means a person that it means Shein Veregel. So according to Shmuel, at this point we've covered all four of us Nezikin. According to Rav, now we're going to start talking about Maveh primarily, which is the Nezakin caused by people. So last four Prokim of the Masechta are going to deal with Nezakin caused by people. Now we also had Rab Oshia. We had a Braisa there in the first Perek of Rab Oshia that added to the four Ovis Nezikin of the Mishnah. You have also the four Shomrim, and you have the four Shomrim, and you have the five kinds of things that you pay when someone is injured: Nezek Tzar, Ripui Shevis, and Boshes. And then we had a Braisa of Rab Chia that mentioned also, besides those, you have Tashlumi Kefal, Tashlumi Abav Chamisha, Ganev, Gazlan, and a whole bunch of others. So now, this perek, we're going to focus on the ganav and tashlumei kefal and tashlumei abav b'chamisha. The next perek is going to be about injuries and about the five things that come in connection with injuries, and then the last two perakim are going to be about gzela, about dinim of a gazlan. So why are they? Why? So one point is the Rishonim make a point. That's why now that we finished with the other Ovis Nezikin, now we start dealing with the Ovis Nezikin that Rav Chiya had mentioned, in particular Ganev and Gazlan. The reason why Achoyvel is stuck in the middle. Why don't we do first Achoyvel, then Ganev, then Gazlan, or some other order like that? Rabbeinu Yehonasan gives a Gorton Shittim Kubetis gives a very interesting explanation that he says once a person has been robbed. Once a person has been stolen from, a lot of times he becomes more paranoid, and therefore now he's more likely to suspect other people and even to get into fights with them where there are going to be injuries. And that's why you have first here the perek about a ganav and about gneva, and after that you have perek achoyvel about injuries. And then after that, after we've dealt with that, then we go on to talk about gzela. So this perek anyway is going to be focusing, most of the perek focuses on the dinim of a ganav, where we know the Torah says a ganav has to pay back double. And if it was an ox or a sheep and he shechts it or sells it, then he has to pay four times as much for an ox, five for a sheep. We'll learn later on in the Perek in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, why that difference. Why is there a greater penalty for an ox? Anyway, so that's going to be the focus of most of the Perek over here. As far as the idea behind Kefal, the Rambam says the idea is, the logical idea is, so Reuven stole $100 from Shimon, let's say, so meaning that he wanted to deprive Shimon of $100. Instead, he pays Kefal, he pays Shimon $200, meaning that now he himself is deprived of $100, which is what he was trying to do to the other guy. So the Mishnah starts off. Meruba midas tashlume Kefal, midas tashlume abav chamisha. The number of cases where you have Tashlumei Kefal is more than the ones of Tashlumei Abav Chamisha. Shemidas Tashlumei Kefal Nehegas Bein Bedava Sheyesh Beruach Chaim O Bein Bedava Shein Beruach Chaim. Tashlumei Kefal applies no matter what it was that was stolen, whether it's a living object or not. Omidas Tashlumei, as we're going to work out in the Gemara, Omidas Tashlumei Abav Chamisha Ein Nehegas Ela B'Sher V'Seh Bilvah. As opposed to Tashlumei Abav Chamisha is only going to apply strictly to an ox or a sheep, as it says in the pasuk, and we're not going to generalize from that. Now earlier in the Masechta, for example, we learned that you have, for example, when the Torah says Shur or Hamur, in many cases, many times we generalize from it by Gzeira Shavas or other such things, as we learned at the end of the fourth parak to include other animals. Here, no, it applies strictly to a Shur and a Seh. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ki yignev ish shorei seh, a person steals an ox or a sheep, or tvachoy macharoi, he shechts it or sells it, so then he has to pay four times as much for the, five times as much for the ox, or four times for the sheep. So we see that the Torah is clearly saying that it applies only to these. The Gemara is going to explain later on in the parak, because since the pasuk repeats the words shur and seh at the end of the pasuk, that shows that it's meant so to be limited only to those. An interesting question is as far as the a goat included. Now in Torah terminology, a seh does mean strictly a sheep. On the other hand, you have the word tsoin many times in psukim that means generically sheep and goats. So does that mean that goats are not included? In fact, the Maharshal says just that. That yeah, it means strictly sheep, not goats. Continues the Mishnah. Ein ha-goinav achra ganav mishan tashlumei kefil. Now here's a case where somebody steals and he's not paying tashlumei kefil, where he steals from a ganav. Meaning, so Reuven had an object. Shimon stole it from him. Then Levi stole it from Shimon. So he doesn't pay tashlumei. So Levi is not paying tashlumei kefil neither to the ganav nor to the original owner. And the reason is it actually brings from later on in the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to explain, because the pasuk says v'gunav mi beis ha'ish, the item was stolen from the man's house, and that word mi beis ha'ish comes to exclude v'loy mi beis ha'ganav. So he doesn't pay kefil. So in that case, Levi doesn't pay kefil. V'loy ha'tiveach v'loy ha'mercher. Similarly, if the ganav had stolen the object, and then somebody else went and then this Levi went and stole from Shimon and shechted or sold the animal, he wouldn't pay tashlumei abav v'chamisha, because once he's not paying tashlumei kefil, he can't be paying tashlumei abav v'chamisha, because tashlumei abav v'chamisha is on top of the kefil. So you have the animal was worth $100, so now tashlumei abav v'chamisha would be he'd be paying $400 or $500. But that itself implies first the $200 for kefil. If there's no kefil, there can't be abav v'chamisha, as we're going to have a number of examples in our perek, because then it wouldn't come out abav v'chamisha. Then it would be shloish of abav. Then it would be three or four times, and the Torah never says any such thing. So the general rule is where there's no kefil, there's no abav v'chamisha. We're going to have various examples of it throughout the perek. So the Gemara starts off. And we're saying that the difference between tashlumei kefil and tashlumei abav v'chamisha, we're saying is that tashlumei kefil applies to anything, and tashlumei abav v'chamisha applies only to oxen or sheep. Now, though, the Mishnah has not pointed out something, which is midas tashlumei kefil nehegas bein bet ganav bein betonet tainas ganav or midas tashlumei abav v'chamisha and nehegas ela bet ganav bilvad loy katoni. Now, the Mishnah has not mentioned another distinction, which is you have like this. There's two cases where a person would have to pay kefil. One is a plain case of a ganav. Reuven owns an object and Shimon goes and steals it from him. The other one is called toyen tainas ganav, which means when you have a shomer, one of the four shomerim who claim, let's talk specifically about a shomer chinam. Because a shomer chinam, if the object is stolen that he was watching, he is potter. So if a shomer chinam claims that the object was stolen, and then it turns out he himself was the one who stole it, he kept it for himself, then he's chayev in kefil. So what happened was he claimed it was stolen. The other guy, the owner of the Pekodin, brings him to Beis Din. He swears falsely that it was stolen. Then we end up having Edim that he himself took it. So then he's paying, the Psukim are saying that he himself pays Tashlumei Kefil. So that's called Toyin Tainas Ganav. So now the Mishnah is not mentioning that distinction that there's any distinction as far as kefil and abav chamisha between ganav and toyin tainas ganav. The Mishnah has not said that there's another difference between them, which is that in the case of a shomer, you may have tashlumei kefil, but you don't have tashlumei abav chamisha. In which case, Messiah le Rav Chiya Abba. In that case, that supports what Rav Chiya Abba says. The Amar Rav Chiya Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Hatoyin Tainus Ganav Pikadin. That yes, if a person claims as far as a Pikadin that it was stolen, and it turns out that it was false, Meshalom Tashlum Kevel. Then he's going to pay Tashlum Kevel, Tovach HaMocher, and if he shechts it or sells it, Meshalom Tashlum Abba V'Chamisha. Then he is going to be paying the 4 or 5 payment. Meaning, so therefore, the Mishnah didn't mention that distinction because, in fact, in all cases where Tvachay Macharei, he's going to pay the 4 or 5. So the Mishnah seems to support what Rav Chiya Bar Abba is saying, but the Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof. Well, first the Gemara says Ikadamri. Another version is that the discussion went not. In the first version, we said Messiah lay, it supports him. Like the Gemara had said, as a definitive point that this supports him. According to the second version, lema Messiah lay Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Should we say that our Mishnah is supporting Rav Chiya Bar Abba's position? The Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Atayin Tainas Ganav Karn, Meshalom Tashlum Kefal, Tova Chomacha, Meshalom Tashlum Abba V'Chamisha. So not necessarily are we assuming that the Mishnah supports him, but at least there is a good reason to think that it does. So is that in fact the case? The Gemara says not necessarily, because mi katani ein bein. The Mishnah didn't say ein bein. There's no difference between between the ganav himself and the one who's toyin tainus ganav. So between the ganav and the toyin tainus, it doesn't say there's no difference between kefal and abav chamisha, except for that one applies to only certain things and one applies to all. If it had said ein bein, then it would be more mashma that it means that we're excluding any other differences. And Tosfos discusses over here sometimes even when we find ein bein, it means only within the particular narrow area of differences in halacha between one and the other. We're not necessarily talking about all of them, but still, here it doesn't even say ein bein, meruba katani. All it means is, all the Mishnah is saying, there's a greater number of cases where kefal applies and abav chamisha applies. So you could equally well say, Tana b'shayer, you could equally well say then that the Tana is just leaving out certain things. The Tana has not mentioned every possible case where there's a difference between kefal and abav chamisha. Maybe the Mishnah means to imply that in fact you have also the distinction between Rav Chiya Bar Abba's cases, that in fact, in other words, Toyin Tainus Ganav would not pay abav chamisha. You can't prove really one way from the other. Now, usually the Gemara will ask in that case, my shire to high shire. What else then did the Tana leave out? Because the Tana doesn't usually leave out only one thing. So Tosfos says, first of all, there is a case involving later on, the Gemara is going to talk about, where a person found something and later on claims it was stolen from him, and you have the same dinim over there. The Mishnah has not mentioned that point as well. And also you have a case of two partners where one of them stole from the other and so forth. So that's one explanation. Tosfos's other explanation is, listen, again, if the Mishnah is only saying meruba, that there's a greater number of cases where kefal applies than abav chamisha, then it's not like we have to assume that the Mishnah to begin with meant to list everything. Therefore, it's perfectly fine if the Mishnah leaves out only one case. So the point is, in other words, that either way, according to either Loshen, we don't have a proof from the Mishnah one way or the other for Rav Chiya Bar Abba's din. So now, we said in the Mishnah, Shemidas Tashlume Kefal Nehega Schola, we said the difference is that Kefal applies to everything and Abav Chamisha applies only to oxen and sheep. So Menahani Mili, first let's deal with, how do we know that Tashlumei Kefal applies to everything? So the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says as follows. The context of the Pasuk is actually about Toyin Tainus Ganav, but we'll get back later into regular case of Ganav. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes, in the case of a Shomer, again, a Shomer Chinam, who claims that the item that he was watching is stolen, the expression in the Pasuk is, I'll call Dvar Pesha, for anything that he might have acted wrongly with, al shur al chamur al sal salma, whether it's an ox or whether it's an ox or a donkey or sheep or a garment, al kol aveda, or for anything else that was lost. And then the pasuk continues, Asher yomar ki hu zeh, and so forth. And the pasuk finishes off about talking about tashlumei kepel. So the Braisa says, when it says al kol dvar pesha, when it says anything for which he was careless, that's klal. That would be a general. That would be a generality. That it means. That it means anything that was stolen. Now again, the pasuk is talking to the context of the pasuk is talking about ton tainas ganav. The Pnei Yeshua points out the fact is the previous pasuk mentions im yimotze aganav yishalom shnayim, or two pasukim earlier mentions im yimotze aganav, if the ganav is found, that there was an actual ganav who stole the object, yishalom shnayim. So now when the pasuk is listing the details of tashlumei kepel, then we understand that it's referring to the ganav as well. So you have al kol drav pesha as a klal. Then you have al shur al chamur al she al se al salma prat. Then you have a prat that mentions four specific things. And at that point, if we stop there, then it would mean that tashlumei kepel would apply only to those four things. But then it continues al kol aveda for anything else that was lost. That is klal, the chozer v'kolo. That's another klal again. Therefore, we have so therefore klal a prat or klal iatadon elakein a prat. So what do? We say that we can only judge, we can only include things that are similar to the prat. Therefore, ma prat mefurash dover amitalto v'gufay moment. So therefore, the prat, all those four things listed, are movable objects and things that are intrinsically worth money. As called dover amitalto v'gufay moment. Therefore, we know that the din now includes anything else that is metalto and that it itself has a monetary value. So therefore it includes all kinds of things, but yotzu karkois, so it excludes lands, she'ena metalpilin, or she'ena metalpilin, which is not movable. So if a person were to, for example, be masig gvul, move the boundary marker between his field and the other guys, then he wouldn't be paying kevel for that. The yotzu avodim shehuk shulakarkois, it also excludes slaves, avodim knanim, because we find a hekish between them and real estate in the Torah. The pasuk mentions the concept of isnachaltem osam, you should bequeath your avodim to your children, loreshes achuza, as the pasuk says, to inherit them as an estate. So we learn from that avodim are similar to karka, and therefore, this concept of tashlumei kepel does not apply to avodim either, if one person stole the other one's eved. And the yotz and yotzu shtoris, and also we also exclude shtoris shafkish and metalklin. They are movable. Ain gufan mamon. They're not. They themselves are not money. They're only a proof about money. So if one person steals the other one's shtoris, he's not paying tashlumei kepel. And one more yotz a hektish. Another one is we exclude hektish that when hektish is involved, there's no tashlumei kepel. There's no tashlumei kepel because re'ehu k'siv, because the pasuk mentions in this connection re'ehu, his friend, his fellow yid, and hektish is not included in that. Okay. However, so thus far the braisa. However, the Gemara says e ma prat mefurish. Well, let's consider. What are you telling me? The prat is dover amataltov gufay moment, but there's another thing you could find that the prat has in common. Ma prat mefurish dover shenuv losim etame b'mago v'masa. The three kinds of animals that it mentioned in the Mishnah, shur, chamur, and seh, all of them have this in common, that if they die, then in the case of a shur and seh without shchita, then their dead bodies are metame, whether a person touches or carries them. So we could argue, af kol davar shenuv losim etame b'mago v'masa, maybe tashlumei kepel then only applies to things that have that in common, that they're metame, a person who touches and carries them. Aval oifos loy, in which case that would not apply to birds, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara. There's only one case of tumah involving birds, and it doesn't have to do with touching or carrying them. So maybe not. So the Gemara says back, what do you mean? How could you say that? The fact is, the pasuk mentions a garment, and a garment is clearly not in that category of matami mago masa. So obviously the prat is meant to include that, is meant to include everything else as well. So Amri, so the answer, okay, maybe what we mean is anan b'balei chayim. Fine, we're talking about within the animals. Ema, maybe we should say, within animal, bibale chayim, within the category of animals, we should only include davar she'nivlasim atam of mago v'masa ein, then you'd be chayiv for tashlum kefil, davar she'nivlasim atam of mago v'masa loy, and maybe if it's not atam of mago v'masa, maybe you should be potter on, you should be potter on kefil. And the reason we would think to do that, is when we have over here four things that are listed over here as the prat, what we're actually doing is we're not treating it as one big klala prat. What we're actually doing is we're darshining each one by itself and darshining things that are similar to it. Rashi refers to that we're going to learn. We're going to learn on Samach Dal and Amud Beis. We're going to talk about that. We take each one of these pratim individually and darshan a klal of prat or klal with it, and then we learn out details from that. So we say as if the Torah had said the klal, and then just sure, and then the prat, and the Torah had said the klal, and just chamur, and then the prat. And so forth, and the Gemara is going to discuss this on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and we're going to say that we have an example over there, and this is with a different klal or prat or klal, but still, the point is, in other words, that we see when you have extra pratim, Rashi explains that it means each one is meant to include something similar to it. So we should assume that each one of the ones mentioned over here, Shur, Hamur, Se, and Salma, is meant to be darshan by itself. To make a klal or prat or klal of itself, and therefore, so the result would be avo oifos loy. So therefore, that would exclude birds. What we would say, in other words, is we have a klal including shur, a klal or prat or klal involving shur, that means not birds. A klal or prat or klal involving chamur, also not birds. As far as seh, also not birds. As far as salma, fine, we would say that includes other inanimate objects which are like it, but still, we don't have birds included. So where do we get that? If a person steals a bird from somebody else, he's chayef tashlum kefil. Tosfos points out, by the way, there are other places where we have pratim mentioned in a klal or prat or klal, and we don't do this kind of thing. We don't assume that we should break them up and darshan them separately. The Gemara is going to bring soon one as far as Ma'isa Sheni, which we've discussed earlier in the Masechta. We have another one from Kiddushin, where the Torah mentions certain things when it comes to giving Hanukkah, the final gift that you give to an Eved Ivri before he goes free. So Tosfos discusses why it is that over here, in this case over here, since the Gemara is going to end up saying that really we can learn all of them from Simla, the Torah could have just said Simla, we would have included everything else from it, because there's no reason to think then that the Tashlum Kefil should apply only to inanimate things and not to animate ones. So here, the Gemara is assuming that since it says not only Salma, but also the various other ones, Shur, Chamur, Seh, then maybe each one is meant to be Daushin as an individual klal or prat or klal. Anyway, so that's the question. And how do we know that we include birds? Well, the answer is Imke Nichter Rachmana Chad Prata. Well, that's exactly it. In that case, the Torah could have written only one of these three animals as the prat. Since it listed all three of them, then we understand that it means that we are including everything else as well. Well, the Gemara says, "Hey Nichtav, what do you mean? How could the Torah have written only one of the three animals, and you would be able to learn everything else from it?" This is similar to a discussion that we had at the end of the fourth parak, as far as how we know that all other animals are included in the dinim of Bor and a number of other dinim. So how could we do it? Ikos Rachmana Shur, if the Torah had written only Shur, have Amina, Korov Lagabi Mizbeach, Ein Shein Korov Lagabi Mizbeach Loi. Then you would think a Shur is an animal that can be brought on the Mizbeach, so it would exclude even many kosher animals, wild kosher animals that cannot be brought as Korbanus. So it can't just say Shur. If it listed only chamur, then you would think that it means only animals that have the kedusha of bechora, which applies to cows, sheep, and goats, and among the behemoth tmeis, it applies only to donkeys. So the Torah couldn't have only written donkey, because then we would have assumed that it meant only the ones that are kodesh b'bechora. So therefore, it has to say shur and chamur. Now, shur also is kodesh b'bechora, but once you have chamur and you know that it means kodesh b'bechora, then you would say that shur is meant as im ein inyan lazeh tneu in lazeh. Then it means that it includes other things as well. And selomali. So now, why at this point does it need to say se? Once we have shur and chamur, then we're including everything that. Then we're including already everything that can be that is kodesh b'bechora, and it also implicitly includes then not only that, it includes everything which has a nevela that is matame b'mago humasa. So therefore, it'll include all domestic and wild animals. So selomali. Now, why does it need to say se as well? What are we adding with that? Shmamina lasuya ofis. Therefore, it means that now the Torah is coming to. Is coming to say also that it includes birds. Meaning, in other words, again, not that directly from a ser we can learn a bird. There are two different types of creatures, but once it said shur and chamur, and clearly we don't need at that, and clearly now we've included all kinds of four-footed animals. So now when we have ser as well, which doesn't add anything to that, then it means it's coming, it's in lazeh, tenei in lazeh, since we don't need it to include four-footed animals anymore, then we use it to include birds, even though birds are not matam of magov masa. But the Gemara says still, the emel asuya ofis tahorim, still maybe you could say that it includes only kosher birds, where the difference is with kosher birds, dumya to seh, they are at least similar to a seh in the sense the matame begadim abes abriya. There is a tumma involving birds, namely that they're matame when a person swallows them, as we've learned earlier. You have the Torah specifically says as far as kosher birds, that if there's a nevela if there's a dead kosher bird and somebody swallows it, as he's swallowing it, as it passes into his throat, he becomes tamei. And that applies specifically only to kosher birds. Aval oifis tmeim, the less behu tuma. But when it comes to non-kosher birds, where this kind of tuma doesn't apply, deloy metame begodim abes abliya, loy. So they're not metame a person and his clothing when he swallows them. Because it actually explains from a Gemara in Chulin that learns from a pasuk. The pasuk says they're nevela utreifa lo yoichal, and so we learn from that only when the isser is strictly because of nevela utreifa, not when the isser is because of something else, as is the case with a non kosher bird. So then maybe you should say that. So then maybe you're not including that. Maybe even you have shur, chamur, and seh. Fine. So between shur and chamur, you've included everything where nevela is matama b'mago masa. So you'd say that seh includes a case where it's not matama b'mago masa, but it's matama in a different way. Still, that leaves out non-kosher birds, which have no kind of tumah involved with them at all. And the answer is kol ribuyahu. The answer is fine, but we have the word kol in the pasuk, al kol dvar pesha, and therefore that's a ribuy. And with that ribuy, we can also include. So we're not even really doing a klal prat. The Gemara is now switching. The Gemara is now switching gears and saying we're not even really going to do a klal prat to klal anymore. Now we're going to do a ribuy miut ribuy, which means that we're going to include a lot more things. We're going to include everything else that is anything else that's even slightly similar to the three to the four things listed in the pasuk. So therefore, we're going to say that yes, it includes non-kosher birds as well. So the Gemara asks, "V'chol heicha because of kol riboyahu?" So you're telling me that any time the Torah says kol, it's meant to switch that instead of doing a klal prat to klal, you're going to do a ribui miut ribui. How can that be? V'agavi meiser d'chtiv kol. What about by meiser sheni when it talks about using the money of meiser sheni to spend on food? The pasuk mentions the word kol there. V'kodashin and leb'klal prat. And yet we continue to douse in it with a klal prat. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says about spending Maisa Sheni money and then using it to buy food that you eat in Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk goes, V'nasata Kesef B'chol Asher Ta'ava Nafshecha. You should use the money for anything that your soul desires. Babokor, Vatzon, Vayayin, Vashecher. cattle, sheep, wine, or beer, or anything else that your soul desires, and then you eat it in Yerushalayim. So you have, so the Braisa says, when it says anything that you desire, that would be a klal. When it mentions specifically cattle, sheep, wine, and beer, that's a prat. When it says anything that your soul desires is again a klal. So klal the prat to klal iat don elakein a prat ma prat meforish. So what can we specify about the prat? Pre-mikri, you have one fruit growing from another fruit. You had in the case of the animals, you have an animal gives birth to young. In the case of wine and beer, they come out of the peri. You take the grape, or you take the whatever it is that you make the beer out of, and you distill it, and you squeeze it, and you distill it to make the wine or the beer. The gedulei karka. And there are things that grow directly or indirectly from the ground. The wine and beer come from things that grow directly from the ground. The bokar and sain eat grass, which comes from the ground. So af kol prima priva gedulei karka. The same way, anything you're going to buy with ma'aser sheni money has to be something that has these characteristics prima priva gedulei karka. The point being, therefore, it excludes water. And it excludes salt, and it excludes mushrooms, because all of those things are either not pre-mi-pri or they're not gedulei karka. And so we see, even though the Torah uses the word kol, says, we still treat it as a klal, a prat to klal. So why in our case are you telling me, because it says our kol dry pesha, should we include everything else as well, including non-kosher birds? So Amri, the answer back, by kol, klala, kol ribuyahu. The answer is where it says bichol. It means to be still part of a klal. When it says the word kol by itself, then it means that it's meant to be a rib. Now Tosfos points out, and that what we really did again is we took the klal of prat to klal, and we said that really we're making it into a ribui miut ribui. So Tosfos says it's not really the Braisa didn't really mean to Daushin. The Braisa didn't really mean to Daushin as a cloud, a prat to cloud to begin with. It's just this is a common drasha that we find in various other places in Shas and in connection with various other halachas. We find this drasha of Dovra Matal to Begufay Mamen. So therefore, the Braisa used it over here also. Even though, as the Gemara is concluding over here, really we're actually learning from Kol that it's not a cloud, a prat to cloud at all. But again, that's only when it says kol, not when it says bichol. Or another answer, you could say kol klolahu. In fact, the word kol, or even the word bichol, would be a klal. So you could really say that even when it says kol, usually we douch it as a klal, a prat to klal. Mihu kol the hochari buyahu. But the difference is that al kol drav pesha over here necessarily is a special case and meant to be a ribu. Because after all, you have to begin with in the Udiyur Pasuk, when it first starts describing the case of the Shem Echinam, you also have a klal prat klal over there. Because the Pasuk says, ki yitin isha re'ehu, the Pasuk is ki yitin isha re'ehu, a person gives to his fellow yid, kesef or kalim, silver or kalim, lishmer to guard, and then regunam vimeseishin, it gets stolen from him. So you already have a klal prat klal there as well. Ki yitin isha re'ehu klal. The kiyitin isha re'ehu is a generality if he gives him anything to watch. When it says kesef ekelim prat, lishmer chazav hodir v'kolal, when it says lishmer to guard, meaning anything else that he might give him to guard. So we already have a klal of prat to klal in this connection. The sakadaitach, hi, al kol dvar pesha, nami, al klal of prat to dasa. If you're going to tell me that the pasuk al kol dvar pesha is also meant just to give us a klal of prat to klal, then nichtiv rachmona lahani proti gabeheach klal of prat. Then the Torah could have equally well written all of these pratim that it mentions in the later pasuk, the shur, the chamur, etc. It could have written them all in the earlier pasuk. The Torah could have said, ki yitin isha re'ehu, kesef oy kelim, oy shur, oy chamur, oy she, oy se, oy salma. Or for that matter, maybe it didn't even need to mention kesef oy kelim. It could have just mentioned shur, chamur, etc. over there. And there you don't have the word kol. So there we would have doushing it as a, there we would doushing it as a plain klal or prat to klal. So our kol dvar pesha lamali. Why instead does the Torah add a whole new klal of prat to klal and include in it the word klal? So therefore, so shmamina ribuyahu, therefore that means it's a ribuy, and now therefore we're marba other things as well that wouldn't have been included in a klal prata klal. Therefore, we can include now the non-kosher birds and other similar kinds of things like that that are that wouldn't have otherwise been included in the klal prata klal. Tosfos deals with the question then why Taka didn't the Torah mention only Kesef, and we would have learned everything else from it. In any case, the point is that now we actually use the Kesef HaKelim for a different Jerusha that we learn in Masech Shavuos, having to do with a case of Taino Kfira, where one person says to the other, "You owe me a certain amount of money or a certain amount of Kelim," and the other guy denies all or part of it, or another guy denies part of it, and is now a Moedim Miktas. When do we make him take a Shavua? And when not, we learn from those words Kesef HaKelim. We learn Dinim about that, which eventually we'll learn in Masech Shavuos, Bez Hashem. So the point is that now, so we have two possibilities. Again, one is because it says Al Kol Dvar Pesha, and the Kol is a Ribui. The other possibility is it's not so much that the Kol is a Ribui, it's more that since you have a whole other Kavachomer over here that you didn't even need to begin with, a whole nother klal, that you didn't need to begin with, then therefore we can say that it's meant to include other things, that it's meant to actually not be a klal prata klal, it's meant to be a ribui, miut ribui, and therefore we can include all kinds of other things as well. So, the Gemara says, hash de amit kol ribuya, kol hani prati lamali. Well, if you're saying the word kol is a ribui, then what do we need those four details, shur, chamur, san, salma, what are they coming to exclude? So the answer is like this. Chadam uti karka, one comes to exclude karka, which is, again, like we said, if one person steals the other one's karka, he's not paying tashlume kefil for that. Vachadam uti avodim, another one is to exclude avodim, that also, if a person steals the other one's evet, he's not paying tashlume kefil. Tosfos points out, now before we said we didn't need a separate limud for avodim. We said once we're mamayit karka, then automatically we're mamayit avodim, because avodim are compared to karka. However, Tosfos says, now that we have the word kol, now we're going to need an individual miut for each one of them, and therefore we have no choice but to actually say that we need a separate miut for avodim. And the fact is, the Rashba adds, after all, the difference is, but the fact is, avodim are metaltal. You would have figured, look, avodim are metaltal, and they are gufan mamon. They do have an intrinsic monetary value. So you would have said this is an exception, and the hekish of karka to avodim doesn't apply to this, and therefore the Torah needs to specifically mention one of the pratim to tell us not them. V'chadam u'ti shtaris, the third miut. Again, because we have four pratim over here. The third one comes to exclude shtaris, where, we, as we said, if one person steals the other one's shtaris, he's not paying tashlume kefil for the reason that the shtar is not gufoy mamon. It itself doesn't have an intrinsic value. Its value is in the writing on it. And the fourth one, salma, when it mentions in the pasuk the garment, that would be lamu'uti davar she'einu misuyam. That would come to exclude something which is not misuyam. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains, a salma, by definition, has simanim. In fact, in Bava Metzia, in Perek Ela Metzias, which we'll get to in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn that from the word salma, we learn the concept that an aveda, that when you find a lost object, it has to have simanim in order for you to be required to return it. Because a salma, every person weaves clothing a little bit differently, and therefore it has a simanim. So now Rashi explains over here in the similar vein, what the Pasuk is telling us is only if the object has a simen, only then does the concept of Tashlume Kefil apply to it. But if it doesn't have a simen, then he'd be potter. Tosfos and various other Rishonim don't like that explanation of Rashi. Because what's the difference? Mela by an Aveda, there would be a difference of whether there's a simen or not. But why should there be a difference over here? As far as tashlume kefil? So Tosfos explains that no, what it means over here, davar she'einu misuyam, means that there has to be a definitive amount. Meaning, Tosfos refers to, for example, you have a case in Masech Shavuos. Suppose, for example, one person says that. Suppose, for example, Reuven says to Shimon, "I gave you over to watch a house full of stuff." The house was full of some object, And Shimon says that, and Shimon says that no, it wasn't a full house. So neither one of them is saying the definitive amount, how much you can fit into the house. There's going to be a lot of different variables that depends on. So therefore, you don't have anything definitive to say that there was X amount, there was X dollar value of stuff in the house, as opposed to, for example, you have, let's say, so now if Reuven were to say, I gave you an amount of stuff where the house was, or the building was filled up with this up till the window, and the other guy said, no, it wasn't up till the window, it was up till the ledge below the window, then it would be a case of moedim mitzvahs, and you'd have to pay because the amount that's up to the window or up to the ledge is measurable. So therefore, Tosfos says that's what it means over here. Dabar she'einu mesuyam means, in other words, that. So again, in the case of Toyin Tainas Ganev, let's say, if Reuven says to Shimon, I gave you this house to watch and it was full, and Shimon is saying, no, I don't know how full it was. Here is the house back. Here, come open up the building and then take whatever it is that you put in there. Then we wouldn't say that. So now if instead Shimon says actually everything in there was stolen, he wouldn't be paying Tashlomei Kefil, because not a Dover Hamasuyam. It's not an item where there's a known amount of it. That's Tosfos. The Ramban gives yet another example. Dover she'einu mesuyam would be, for example, a half a keli. So you have in Masechta Shavuos, we just mentioned that in the connection with kesef a kelim, the Gemara brings in Masechta Shavuos a discussion about the point that if one person is claiming and the other one is denying the claim, and it involves less than a certain number of silver coins or less than a certain number of kalim, then he's not required to swear. So here we'd be talking about, let's say, for example, he's telling him, I gave you to watch half a keli, and that half a keli is not the minimum of two kalim that it says over there, and it's also not worth the shtei kesef, the two silver coins that it mentions over there, then we would say the whole concept of tashlomei kefil doesn't apply. That would be another meaning of dover mesuyam, that it would mean something. It's not an actual full object, because it's only half an object really. Okay. So various explanations of what Dover she'einu mesuyam is. The point is, though, that the point is that we're saying that that the word Salma comes to exclude so the word Salma comes to exclude all of those. Okay. Now, when the pasuk continues, Al Kol Aveda, the pasuk says for anything that was lost. So L'chidir Abchir Ba'aba, that comes to teach us a din that Abchir Ba'aba says. What happens as far as a lost object? So Reuven lost something. Shimon found it, and he's holding on to it until Reuven shows up to collect it. Now, when Reuven comes to collect it, then Shimon tells him in between it was stolen. Meanwhile, eventually Edim come and say that actually it's still in his possession. Mishalom tashlomei kefil, he's going to be paying tashlomei kefil in that case as well. And tashlomei abav chamisha, if it was an animal and he shechted and sold it. Shenema, I'll call aveda asher yoma, because the pasuk says, for any aveda that he would say, meaning, in other words, that in the symbol meaning of the pasuk would be, I'll call aveda means whenever the shomer is claiming that the thing was lost. But now we're also understanding, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba is also understanding it to mean that it means any time, any situation involving an aveda where he would claim that where he would claim that it was stolen from him, then that's Toyin Tainas Ganev, and then he would be paying kefil. So not only in the case of a regular Ganev is he paying kefil, and not only in the case of a regular Shomer is he paying kefil, but even in the case where he's a Shomer Aveda, where to begin with the item was lost and he picked it up, then we also say that if he's Toyin Tainas Ganev on it, then he's also paying kefil. That we learn from the words Al Kol Aveda. Okay. So we've covered everything in the pasuk, why it says all the details that it does in the pasuk, and we've covered now that we've established now that tashlomei kefil does apply to all kinds of objects. Okay, now let's talk more about this Toyin Tainas Gana business. Tnanho, so we learn in a Mishnah, and we learn in a Mishnah later in our Masechta. Reuven says to Shimon, Heichan Pikdoni, where is my Pikodin? I gave you such and such to watch. Where is it? Omale Ovad, and Shimon says it was lost. And lost, by the way, doesn't mean lost as in I don't remember where I put it. The Gemara in Bava Metzia in Hamafkid tells us that actually that would be considered pshia, to not know where you put a pikadon is carelessness. What we mean really is that he ovad, in other words, it was lost in the sense that, for example, it was grazing in the meadow, and then in a way that would be normal to send out an animal to graze, and it disappeared, and I don't know what happened to it, or something like that. Anyway, so he says ovad. So Reuven says, I'm going to make you swear in Beis Din, but Omen, and the other guy says Omen, which means that he accepted the Shavua on himself. Meanwhile, there are Edim that he himself that he himself ate it. Meaning, in other words, that he himself had taken it for himself and kept it. And even Tosfos points out the chiddush of Ochloi is that even though we would still say, we're jumping the gun a little bit. So for Edim Edim Oisin Shachloi Meshalam Asa Keren, he's paying only Keren. Because he didn't claim that it was stolen, he claimed that it was lost. So therefore, there's no kefil involved. Even though he himself stole it, Tosfos says that's the chiddush. Even though the fact is he completely destroyed it, it's not even as though he kept it and it's still in his possession. He actually shechted or did whatever with it, and now it's completely gone. Nevertheless, we're still making him pay only the keren because there was no tainus ganav. On the other hand, hoidal piatzmai. On the other hand, if he himself had admitted that he stole it, Meshalim Keren Mechomish V'Asham, then he would be paying the Keren plus a Chomish plus bringing a Korban Asham, because that's the case. When a person swears falsely that about a monetary claim and later on he admits to it, then he pays the Keren Mechomish and brings the Asham Gzeles. Rashi points out the Pasuk doesn't mention in that connection in Parshas Vayikra, it doesn't mention that he admitted to it, but the Torah does mention it when it repeats these halachas in Parshas Nasai. It says Vizvadu as chatasim also asha asu, and we learn from that therefore that the whole concept of chomish applies only if he was moideh, and the asham goes together with the chomish. Now the Mishnah continues. Heichen pikdoni, if Reuven says, where is my pikadon? Omaloy nignav, and Shimon says it was stolen, where again he's saying, I'm a shemachinam, I would be potter whether it was lost or whether it was stolen. So in the previous case, he said lost. Here he's saying it was stolen. And mashbiachani, the other guy says, I'm going to make you swear. Meanwhile, afterwards, there were edim that he himself stole it. Now, mashalam tashlome kefil, now he himself is going to be paying tashlome kefil, because he himself stole it, and here there was toin tainus ganav. So he's going to pay tashlome kefil. And if he himself admits it, then it's still going to be mishalom keren v'chomish v'asham. Then you're still going to have the same keren v'chomish v'asham because that's because he admitted it himself before the edim came. Tosfos mentions over here. Now here in this part of the Mishnah, it doesn't mention anything about where he ate it. It just says that the edim are just made that he stole it. The point is, even though it's be'ein, even though it still exists, then he's still chay of kefil because he was toin tainus ganav. So that's thus far the Mishnah. Now Katoni Mia. Now at any rate, the Mishnah had mentioned the Toin Tainus Ganav that who demeshalim tashlume kefil. Only when it comes to Toin Tainus Ganav is he paying tashlume kefil. Avol Toin Tainus Ovad loy meshalim tashlume kefil. And that if he claims that it was lost, then he's not paying kefil even if he himself stole it. And furthermore, Vafilo Toin Tainus Ganav B'Shvur D'Mashalim D'Shlomei Kefil Abba Shaloi B'Shvur Ein D'Mashalim D'Shlomei Kefil. And even with Toin Tainus Ganav, it requires that there was a Shvur involved in order for him to be Chayiv and Kefil, not otherwise. Some Nahani Mili. Where do we know all these details from? These particular details that we only make him pay Kefil only if it was Toin Tainus Ganav. And that only if he swore falsely, only then is he paying. Only then is he paying kefil. Where do we get all that from? So the Gemara says the Tanan Abanan. We learn a brisa on that subject. There is, by the way, within that, by the way, there is a machloikus between the Rambam and the Ravid. Does it also require that? Is there any requirement at any time during this thing that the that the Shomer himself had had done shlichus yad in the pikkudin. What if the Shomer himself had misused the pikkudin, and now he's claiming that it was stolen. So you have a situation over there where if you the Rambam learns that if it was shaleach yad and then claim tainus ganev, then the Rambam says he would be potter at that point from kefil, because once he was shaleach b'yad, once he actually used the pekodin for his own purposes, then it becomes his own. Now there's no kefil to talk about. The Raiva disagrees with that, but anyway. So to turn it up on, we learn in a brisa. The pasuk says, "Im yimotze haganav." The pasuk describes in the case of a shomer chinam, it says that a person gives something else to something to somebody else to watch. The gunav mibeis ha'ish, and it was stolen from the man's house. Im yimotze haganav yishalom shnayim. If the ganav is found, then he pays double. So im yimotze haganav, but turn tainus ganav akosim medaber. The pasuk is talking about a case. Not a case of an actual ganav, but a case of toin tainus ganav, where the shomer is claiming that it was stolen. After omer toin tainus ganav. Now you're saying, continues the braisa, that it's talking about toin tainus ganav or any other ganav atzmo. How do you know? Maybe it's talking about the regular ganav himself, and the posik is saying the gunav mibeisa ish. Means that so in other words, the braisa is explaining that the posik goes as follows: the gives something to the other person to watch, the gunav mibeisa ish, and the shomer claims that it was stolen from his house. If we find out that he himself is the ganav, then yishalom shnayim. But maybe not. Maybe it means the gunav mibeisa ish. It was truly stolen from the man's house, and if we find the ganav, then yishalom shnayim. Then he pays double. So how do we know it doesn't mean that? So the answer is kshu omer, because you have a few, because you have later on psukim, the pasuk continues, im lo yimotze aganav v'gomer, if the ganav is not found, and we end up saying, asher yomer ki hu zeh, that the edim are saying that he himself actually took it, then, so there it's talking about toin tainus ganav. So therefore, but toin tainus ganav akosim medaber. Therefore, the psukim are all talking about toin tainus ganav. So now that's the braisa. The Gemara is going to explain soon. Well, then why does the pasuk need to repeat it? If im yimotze aganav yishalom shnayim already refers to the shomer, then why do we need im lo yimotze aganav, and then it says yishalom shnayim l'reihu, to also refer to the shomer? So we'll get back to that in the Gemara. But first, we have this one braisa that says that by toin tainus ganav there's kefil. Now tanya idoch. On the other hand, we learn another braisa that says im yimotze aganav, when if the ganav is found. The second braisa says beganav atzmai akosim medaber. The pasuk is actually talking about an actual ganav himself, not the shomer. After oimer beganav atzmai, so you're saying it refers to the ganav. Or ein el betoin tainus ganav. Maybe it refers to toin tainus ganav. No, sure oimer lo yimotze aganav. Since the pasuk continues, if the ganav is not found and the guy swears and then he pays kefil. All right, Toin Tainus Ganav Omer. So then in those later psukim, you have the case of Toin Tainus Ganav. Homani Makayim, Yimotzah Ganav. So what do we do with the earlier posik? Yimotzah Ganav must be the Ganav Atzmei Akosim Medaber. So therefore, so the posik, the first posik is talking about the Ganav himself. So we have two braises which disagree. One of them says that both psukim are talking about Toin Tainus Ganav, and the other one says, the other one says that no, the first pasuk is talking about the ganav, and the second one is talking about toin tainus ganav. Okay, so thus far the two braises. So first, dekule alma miyas im lo yimotze aganav toin tainus ganav. Everybody agrees that the second pasuk im lo yimotze aganav is referring to toin tainus ganav. So my mashma, where do we see that from the psukim? Omar Rava, because the pasuk is saying because when the pasuk says im lo yimotze haganav, it doesn't mean if the ganav is not found. Meaning im lo yimotze kemasha omar, if it's found, if it's not found, like what he's saying. So he's claiming that it was stolen by somebody else. Ella, rather, we find out through Edim, shohu atzmei gonvoy, that he himself stole it. Then yishalom shnayim, then he pays double. So therefore, we see. Yes, if he himself stole it, then he's paying kefil. So we see that definitely the second pasuk in Lo Yimotze Aganav is referring to the Toyin Tainus Ganav. later on, the Gemara is going to deal with, well, how do we know that's only when Toyin Tainus Ganav? But meanwhile, at least we know that the second pasuk is definitely referring to Toyin Tainus Ganav. The Braises are disagreeing whether the first one also does, or whether the first one is talking about an actual Ganav himself. Next, Umenolon de Bishvua. Now, how do we know that? How do we know then that that this whole concept of the Shomer paying Kefil would only apply? Would only apply if he swore falsely, as in the scenarios that we had in the Mishnah before. So for that, we need another braisa. Tanya, the Nikra Balabayas El Elikim. The pasuk says the Balabayas, meaning the Shomer, should approach Elikim, meaning the Dayan. So Lishvua, when it says that he approaches, for that he approaches, means for Shvua. Once he's saying that it was stolen, then he has to swear, and then he's going to be potter. Once he swears, he's going to be potter from paying. So the Braisa says, after Oymer l'shvua, or Eina Elo l'din, maybe it doesn't mean for shvua, maybe it means for the din, maybe it's that we actually require him to pay, maybe it's that we actually, we tell him, you claim that it was, you're claiming that it was stolen, well then you're going to have to pay up. Maybe in fact the Shomer Chinam, who claims Nignava, is going to be chayev to pay. So on the face of it, I mean, what do you mean? Then in that case, wouldn't you, then there would be the same thing between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. So on the Pesukim, actually, Rashi explained that the Braisa's question is, how do we know once he claims Toyin Tainus Ganav, maybe he's chayev to pay right away, even before Shavua? In other words, if Edim were to come at that point before he even swears and say that he stole it, maybe he should have to be careful. On the face of it, though, the Gemara over here is just saying that maybe as soon as he claims that it was stolen, immediately we should tell him that he's chayev to pay, that he's chayev to pay the Keren. So how do we know that not? There is a good deal of discussion about this among the Maharshal and the Maharshal and the Maharam. The Maharshal says, I mean, obviously you don't need that. Then how would he ever get to Kefil when it comes to Toyin Tainus Ganav in the first place? Obviously Shomer Chinam is potter when it comes to Gneva. So he explains that it means that how do we know that as soon as he claimed that it was stolen and it turns out that he was lying, maybe he should have to pay kefil without the shvua, similar to what Rashi explains on Chumash. Marsha explains yet differently and says that it means that maybe he would have to be paying the keren, and then what about the Marshal's question? So then how would he ever deal with kefil? And Maharsha deals, maybe Xeris HaKosef, he claims Nignava, right away we're going to have to make him pay. And then later on, if it turns out that he's the Ganev, he would also have to pay Kefil. So maybe indeed, as soon as he claims Tainus Nignav, maybe immediately we would tell him, tough luck, you still have to pay because you're claiming that it was stolen. And then the Maharam further deals with this whole issue. And then brings from various Rishonim who deal with what exactly is the Braisa's have a minute to think that he should have to pay to begin with when he claims that it was stolen. So we could say again, in other words, that maybe even if he doesn't swear, maybe we would even be mechayev him. We would be mechayev him to pay right away. And therefore the question is, so how do we know that not? How do we know? Well, only mechayven to pay only when there was a shvua involved. So in other words, the question is, again, going back to the Braisa, how do we know when it says v'nikra balabayis elakim, how do we know that it means that he approaches the Beis Din in order to swear about his claim? Maybe it means that he approaches the Beis Din in the sense that we tell him to actually pay up. The Braisa continues, Nema shlichus yad lamata v'nema shlichus yad lamayla. In the next section in the Torah, when it talks about the Shomer Sachar, it uses the word imloy sholach yodim imlechas re'ehu. And in the earlier part about the Shomer Chinam, which is what we're dealing with now, as far as this whole case of Toyin Tainus Ganav, it also uses the word imloy sholach yodim imlechas re'ehu. Now, in that case, the Torah clearly spells out that we're in that a Shavuah is involved, because the Torah clearly says, by Hashem HaSachar, when he's claiming that there was an oinus, then he's swearing to that, and then he's potter. So Afkan the Shavuah, the same way over here, we understand that when the Torah mentioned in connection with Imloy Shalach Yodim, not that he has to pay, but rather that he has to swear. And when is he going to be chayev? In what it says over here about Yishalom Shnayim L'Re'ehu is only going to be if he swore. A point that Tosfos Reed makes, a logical reason behind it, because a ganav, you don't require a shavua for him to be chayev kefil. The difference is the ganav to begin with got the thing by iser. Here we're talking about a shomer who it came into his hands to begin with beheter. So therefore we need something more. We need a shavua to begin with. We need a shavua in order for the Torah to penalize him and require him to pay the shlomo kefil. Another the Or Sameach makes another point as well. Look, before his shvua, we're going to say that the mafkid still hasn't lost out yet. He still has the option. You can either swear, or you're going to pay. He still has the option that he might be paid. Once the guy swears, then there's not going to be any more. Then there's no payment to talk about anymore, because now he's completely patterned himself from payment. And therefore, at that point, he's really caused the other guy a loss. And therefore, we're going to make him pay the kefil at this point. So that's where we learn that that there has to be a shura involved. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Bishleim lamanda omachad beganav v'chan b'toyin tainas ganav." Well, according to the Braisa that we said that we have of the two psukim, one that says, Im Yimotze HaGanav, and the other one says Im Lo Yimotze HaGanav, and both of them talk about the Shlomo Kefil. So we said one of them is talking about the Ganav himself, and the other is talking Toin Tainus Ganav. Well, that's why we understand. Then there are two psukim to teach us the two cases. Elo Manda Omer Tavayu, but according to the first Braisa that says that both of them are Toin Tainus Ganav, Trei Kroi Lomali, then why do we need two psukim? And the answer is, Amri, they answered back, Chablamoti Tainas Ovad. You're right, both of them are talking about the Shomer, but one of them is needed to tell us that the din does not apply where Toin Tainas Ovad. If he claims that it was lost, then we say he doesn't pay the cable, even though the Edim are giving Edus that he himself took it, or even that he himself shechted it, etc. We're still not paying him pay kefil. How do we know that? Because we have two psukim that say that by Toyin Tainus Ganav, he's paying kefil, implying only Toyin Tainus Ganav and not any other kind of case. Well, the question is, on the other hand, then, according to him, that according to that second braisa, there's nothing extra over here, because one's telling us that a ganav pays double, and the other is telling us that Toin Tainus Ganav pays double. So according to him, where does he know that Toin Tainus Ovad, you're not paying kefil? And the answer is, because it says ganav, it doesn't say ganav, it says ha-ganav. Im lo yimotze ganav, it could have said im yimotze ganav, and instead it says im yimotze ha-ganav. So therefore, we're saying that only a certain kind of ganav is chayev kefil, and therefore that would exclude the case of where he's claiming ovad. Tosfos points out that we find sometimes that a hey comes to exclude like that, and it means only the specific one. For example, ha oila means the first oila of the day. Sometimes, in fact, we have a hey sometimes adds things, but Tosfos is pointing out that sometimes you always go according to the svara, you always go according to the logical thing that's going to be in this area, whether you're being memayat or whether you're being merabe from a hey. So over here you have a ha ganav means only one specific kind of ganav pays double, namely an actual ganav or where he's claiming tainus ganav, because he says both psukim are referring to tainus ganav, but not where he's claiming tainus olav. Well, olamanda omar tavayu toin tainus ganav demiatle toin tainus av demiatle toin tainus olav. Now, if we said again according to the first braisa that both of them are talking about Toin Tainus Ganav, and we said automatically that excludes Toin Tainus Ovad. Ganav ha ganav my dorish bay. Well, then what is he doushening from the extra hay of Haganav? And the answer is Omaloch. He'll come to tell you. Mi boile l'chid Rav Chiya ba'aba omer Rav Yechanan. He'll need it to teach us what Rav Chiya ba'aba says in the name of Rav Yechanan. Do omer Rav Chiya ba'aba omer Rav Yechanan. Ha Toin Tainus Ganav b'kodin v'shalom tachshalom ha'kefil. Tov v'chomachim v'shalom tachshalom ha'abo v'chamisha. that he is fully like a ganav in the sense that if he shechted or stole, he is going to pay. Abba v'chamisha, we wouldn't have otherwise known that. The pasuk says by a shomer that he pays kefil, never says he pays abba v'chamisha. So now this braiser is going to say that the tana of this braiser is going to say, since it says ha ganav, then it means that he's paying tashluma abba v'chamisha as well. Well, then the question is back. Again, if we say that one braisa is telling us that a ganav pays kefil, and the other one tells us toin tainas ganav also pays kefil, dahai ganav haganav apkev ma'uti tainas ovad, and we said that according to him, the hay of haganav is meant to exclude tainas ovad, so the Rav Chiya Ba'aba Manolai. So where is he going to get Rav Chiya Ba'aba's din from? So the answer is, Omalach, that Tana will answer you, Hekeshu. The answer would be that would be a Hekesh. We have a Hekesh between the fact that the Pasuk puts together the Ganav and the Torin Tainas Ganav, because we're talking about in back-to-back Pesukim, and Ve'en Meshiv and Alakesha. When you have a Hekesh between two things, you can't just come up with a Hekesh on your own. You have to have a Kabbalah from your Rebbeim that these two Pesukim are placed together in order to teach us a certain din. So therefore, you can't refute that hekesh. You can't say, yeah, but it's more logical to say that only one should have to pay above chamisha and the other one should not. Once we have that a ganav, a regular ganav, pays tashlum above chamisha, as we know from other psukim, then yes, it applies to Tony Tanis ganav as well. So we know, therefore, that the Torin Tainas Ganav is paying not only Kefil, but also Abav Chamisha. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue discussing this point about the two Braises and about this whole matter of Tashluma Kefil and Tashluma Abav Chamisha in the case of Torin Tainas Ganav.
Yeah.